All right. How many of you guys have ever had something that you were hoping would happen? Like you had something in mind that you really wanted to happen, and so you were hoping and or praying or whatever for that to happen. You know what I'm talking about? You guys all have had something like that at some point in your life. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about that. I want some examples, though, first. What have you hoped for? What has there been going on in your life that you've been like something you really hoped for or were praying for? A new car. For your best friend to be okay, okay? Anybody else? What else have you hoped and or prayed for? Anybody? The girl of your dreams, okay. I'm currently praying for that and hoping for that. For girl of my dreams, you know. I don't really care about the girl of your dreams that much, but no. Okay, looking for a spouse, okay, for someone in that kind of relationship, sure. What about anybody? Yes, sir? For your toothache to go, okay, for healing of any kind, yeah. Well, today we're going to look at two different Bible stories where somebody had something they wanted or they needed. Okay, first we're in 2 Kings chapter 3. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 3, there were three kings. Okay, this isn't like we three kings of Orient are. Not those three kings. We got three kings here. We got Joram, and Joram is the king of Israel. He's a bad guy. Okay, the Bible says he was a bad king. This is after the kingdom of Israel had split into Israel and Judah, and many of them had fallen away from following God. The Israelites, the kingdom of Israel, had definitely fallen away from following God. So you got Joram, he's the king. He's the bad king. The Bible says he's a bad guy. I can't remember the exact scripture. I don't have it. Oh, it's over there. Hang on. Let me grip my Bible, see if I can find that one, because it's funny. Just kind of the way it's worded there is kind of amusing to me. So here's where it said, 2 Kings chapter 3 says, this is the message here. Joram, son of Ahab, began his rule over Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. He was king for 12 years. In God's sight, he was a bad king. Okay, so it literally just says he was a bad king. He was not good at this. He was not good at following God. So that's king number one. King number two who's in this story is Jehoshaphat. That's a fun word to say. Jehoshaphat, he's the king of Judah, and he's a good king. The Bible says that too. Okay, it says that Jehoshaphat was following God, and so is the kingdom of Judah. So you got that. The third king is the king of Edom. Now, we don't have a name for the king of Edom. He is not a very important player, apparently, because the Bible doesn't even give his name. So he's just kind of there. He's mostly along for the ride because what happens here is Joram, the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, are going to attack the king of Moab, okay, King Mesha. So they're going after King Mesha of Moab, and to get to Moab, they had to go through Edom. So they picked up the king of Edom along the way simply so they could use his land. Now, these guys have been marching for 7 days, okay? It's like the Bataan Death March or something here. Okay, how many of you guys have ever walked for 7 days? Lies. You have not walked for 7 days. I don't believe you. Where did you walk for 7 days? And I don't just mean like you had sports practice 7 days in a row. Okay, this is like hardcore army marching all day long, sleeping on the ground, right? This is like legit military style. So, 7 days in the desert. Imagine you left here and you walked for 7 days in this kind of weather. That would suck. That would be unpleasant, right? We would not like that. So that's what they've done. Well, after 7 days, they've run out of water, and they're still in the desert, and they've been marching for 7 days without. Now they're out of water. This is a bad situation. So they call Elisha. Anybody know who Elisha was? No, that actually, yes, he did get called up to heaven without officially dying. That's true. Elisha did. Elisha is a prophet of God, and The guy who calls on him says he used to hold Elijah's water, which basically means he was Elijah's like slave. So he's not slave, but like his personal assistant. So he's not, and the way he says it, he's kind of like he's not really that much of a prophet, but he's all we got. So they call Elisha. Now Elisha was a great prophet, but this guy was stupid. So he didn't think that much of Elisha, but they figured we don't have anybody else except Elisha. So we're gonna call him. Now in verse 14 and 15, Elisha comes up. And he starts talking trash to Joram, the bad king of Israel. I love this. Because he's like, oh, so when you're having good times, you know, you're bowing down to your guys and stuff. But all of a sudden you got trouble. They're not helping you. Now you're going to call me. I see how it is. How many of you guys have had that? You got a friend who is only a friend when they need something, right? We've all had those people, okay? That's what they're doing here. So these guys, King Joram here, he's been ignoring God. He hasn't paid attention to the prophets. All of a sudden, he's thirsty. Now he's calling on the prophets of God. So Elisha talks some smack to him. But Elisha says to the king of Israel, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't even give you the time of day. Okay, he basically says that in verses 14 and 15. He says, if it weren't for the respect I have for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't give you the time of day. Okay, he literally says that. I would ignore you because you've ignored me for a long time. But he says, okay, I'll listen to you because you're with Jehoshaphat. He's a cool guy. I'm good with that. So here's what Elisha says. I'm in verse 16. Then he said, God's word, dig ditches all over this valley. Here's what will happen. You won't hear the wind. You won't see the rain. But this valley is going to fill up with water, and your army and your animals will drink their fill. This is easy for God to do. He will also hand over Moab to you. You will ravage the country, knock out its fortifications, level the key villages, clear cut the orchards, clog the springs, and litter the cultivated fields with stones. That was verses 16 through 19 in the message. So he says, here's what I need you to do. There's this whole big valley. I need you guys to dig a bunch of ditches. Anybody ever had to dig a hole? I know the Thompsons have. I know we've had that discussion. Okay, some of you guys have. Is digging holes fun? Not really, no. I remember when I got a dog, we got a dog, and we were going to put up an electric fence. We never actually finished it, never got it done. But we were going to put this electric fence up thing, you know, those like invisible ones, I mean. But you got to dig a ditch because you bury the line in the thing. So we paid this friend of ours to do it because we didn't want to do it. And he got like one fence line done, and he was like, yeah, this sucks. I'm not doing it. And so that's why we never got it done. But that's not fun. So that's what he told him. He says, all right, do this, and you guys will have enough to drink, and you will win the battle. And that's exactly what happened, okay, over the course of the rest of the chapter. There's water in the valley, and from where the Moabites are, the Moabites, they see the water, but it looks like blood, and so they think, oh, they all fought amongst themselves, so we'll go down and get them. And then they came right into a trap, and they all got killed. And so they did. They defeated Moab, okay? So that's story number one. Now we're going to go to story number two, Mark chapter 2. Do what? I guess depending on the angle of the sun. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Okay? Yes, but that's what it says. Okay? Just don't argue with the Bible. You argue with the Bible, you go to hell. That's how it works. No. That's a joke. That's a joke. That was a... Okay. Anyways, you don't go to hell if you argue with the Bible. But in fact, yeah, you don't, that's not necessarily true. But here we go. Mark chapter 2. Many of you will know this. You'll hear this. A few days later, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and word got around that he was back home. A crowd gathered, jamming the entrance so that no one could get in or out. He was teaching the word. They brought a paraplegic to him, carried by four men. When they weren't able to get in because of the crowd, they removed part of the roof and lowered the paraplegic on his stretcher. Impressed by their bold belief, Jesus said to the paraplegic, "Son, I forgive your sins." Okay, and then I'll skip down to verse 9, where it says, just so it's clear that I'm the Son of Man and authorized to do either or both, he now looked at the paraplegic, get up, pick up your stretcher and go home. And the man did it, got up, grabbed his stretcher and walked out with everyone there watching him. They rubbed their eyes incredulous and then praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. So we've got this story here. You've heard it probably before, like I said. Jesus is teaching. He's in a house, okay? He's in, you know, a small building. It doesn't even say. It just says he was teaching in a house or some kind of building. Probably not very big because the building is packed to the gills, okay? You cannot get in. Now, I want you to imagine these guys. They've got their friend who cannot walk, okay? Here, I need some help. Will somebody bring that table over here? I need Bryson and Garen and Taylor and Tommy and John to help me with this. Yes, yes, bring that one over here. Okay, I need you all to, yeah, come up here and help. Okay. All right. That's good, that's good. Stay here, don't go anywhere yet. All right, Garen, lay on the table. Don't worry, we're not going to do any experiments on you or anything like that, okay? But you're going to need to put your cup down there, John. Put your cup down. You can't have the cup while I do this. Okay, I'll hold that. Hold your weird, your Titleist golfer hat. All right, so here's what I need you guys to do. Now, the Bible doesn't say how far they carried this guy, But it's probably safe to imagine it wasn't a short distance, okay? Things are probably so. Each of you guys grab a corner. I want you guys to carry Garen around the room a little bit, okay? It really doesn't matter, guys. Just grab a corner. Yeah, that's kind of why I picked him, because he's not the lightest one. I could have picked somebody tiny, but chances are this guy was not necessarily a tiny person. Yeah, so just carry him around the room once or something like that. Now, I want you to imagine this for like 10 miles, okay? This is what's happening here. We kind of ignore this part of the story sometimes, but this for 10 miles, okay? It would probably take a while. They probably took, you know, it probably was not easy and took some time and some great effort. Now, don't worry, they're coming. They'll get here. When y'all get back around here, you can be done, but that's fine. Yeah. Shh, be quiet. So, they get him to the house. Wow, you guys are terrible friends. All right. They're going to throw this paraplegic off the gurney here, and he's going to be a quadriplegic. No. So. No, they didn't have trucks. I'm trying to demonstrate this is what happened in the Bible. Just bring it over here. Bring it over here, you goobers. Just bring it over here, and then you can sit down. Whoa. Please do not dump Garen off and hurt somebody. Wow, Canada. Really nice. That's the other reason. All right, put him down. Set the chair down. Don't dump him off. All right, there we go. Here, don't forget your hat, Garen. No, it's fine. I don't care that much. All right, so stay with me here. I want you to imagine that. For like 10 miles, okay? They carried this guy for a while. We don't know exactly how far they came from, but it was probably, chances are it wasn't around the corner, okay? So they carry him for a while, get him to this house. Now, have you ever wanted to go to something and you got there and realized it was already full? Or like you had sold out? I remember on a restaurant, right? That happens a lot around here. You go to a restaurant on Sunday afternoon or anytime on the weekend especially. And, you know, it's an hour and 15-minute wait because we've only got 3 waiters right now, right? We're used to this in Odessa. Christmas night, I went to go see a movie, and it was sold out, and I was sad. I was going to go see Les Miserables by myself. I still have not seen it, no. It comes out Friday. I'm gonna Redbox it or something this week. Okay, so, yes. I never did get to see it, but I plan on seeing it soon. Anyways, stay with me here. So that's what happens. They've carried this guy all this way, and then they get there, and they're like, oh, dadgummit, this place is full. It's standing room only. So, now how many of you guys have ever thought, that's okay, I'll go through the roof? I've never had this thought myself, but that's what these guys think to themselves. Okay, so now they've got this paraplegic, probably can't help it much. They've got to get him up on the roof, okay? Not an easy task, okay? Some of us were here a couple Sundays ago when Taylor got himself up on the roof to get the Frisbee down and managed to not get himself hurt, which was, no, that's okay. No, you guys don't need to get Garen on the roof. But I'm sure you would try, but no, we're not getting Garen on the roof. So they get this guy on the roof. Now they've got to put a hole in the roof. I want you to imagine in the middle of church if things started falling because somebody was putting a hole in the roof. That would be weird, right? And again, they're digging a hole. Just like in the Old Testament story, they're having to dig. They're having to get down into something. So they've put a hole in the roof. Now they got to get this guy who's up on the roof down into the house without hurting him or without dropping him. They get him out. They get him down. And Jesus forgives and heals him. He gets him and walks out. Now, we got 2 stories. I'm going to pull 3 points out, okay? And these are kind of where I'm getting to. Here's the point, because we're talking about things that we want to see happen. Okay, we have things that we need to happen. Here's some things we can learn from this. Number one, in the first story, 2 Kings 3, verse 14, and this one is up there. It says, Elisha said, as God of the angel armies lives and before whom I stand ready to serve, if it weren't for the respect I have for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't give you the time of day. What is his point there? His point is this. Those who are ignoring Jesus and aren't living for him aren't going to be blessed by him. Okay? If it had just been the king of Israel, he would not have gotten the blessing. He wanted water. He would not have gotten it, except Jehoshaphat was there. He was living in a relationship with God. He was there. Therefore, they got the blessing. But if you're not living in a relationship with Jesus, the things that you want, Jeremiah says, I have good plans for you, plans to give you hope in a future, and plans to prosper you. That was my paraphrase. But if you're not living in a relationship with him, that doesn't matter, okay? Even the verse I was talking about earlier tonight that says, that we sang about, God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say God makes everything work right for everybody, okay? It says God works all things together for the good of those who love him. So you've got to be in relationship with God if you really want the blessings he has for you. Point number two, you have to do something. You have to act before you can see the results. You have to do something. You cannot just sit around and wait for God to do it. Okay, James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says, okay? James 1:22, very well-known verse. Again, don't just sit there and listen and hope for the good things. You have to do the right things, okay? And the second story we were talking about there, Mark 2:12, what does Mark 2:12 say? It says, and the man did it. He got up, grabbed his stretcher, and walked out. You see, if Jesus had said to this guy, okay, you're healed. I just healed you right now. You can walk. And the guy just laid there, he hasn't gotten healed, right? I mean, he hasn't made use of the blessings. He hasn't taken the blessings. Same thing if in the Old Testament, Jesus, the prophet said, okay, I need you guys to dig the ditches, and then God's going to fill them with water. Well, if they don't start digging the ditches, it doesn't happen. It's not there. So you say, okay, I'm hoping for this to happen, but I haven't taken any action. For me, I've kind of been feeling some conviction on this a little lately, and that is that, I'm hoping to find a wife, and I am, but you know what? I might need to get in better shape. That might help me out, okay? That might help me. I'm just being serious. I'm being honest with y'all, kind of where I'm at, right? 5'9 and 240 is not exactly the ideal body type. I'm aware of that. And so, you know what? That might be what I need to do, to get myself ready, to help get myself ready for the woman that God has for me. Not that everybody should be vain and only worry about appearance, but, maybe that's what I need to do to prepare. I need to get more healthy in order to prepare for that, I'm working on that. I'm trying to budget for a gym membership and whatnot. Ready for summer. I'm serious. Ready for summer to come back so I can get back in the pool because I don't really do running. I tried that for a while. It didn't take, so I don't really do running. I mean, y'all saw how out of breath I was trying to lead that song after we did this game, right? I was over here dripping. I know y'all saw it because it was in my eyes and stuff. So, right? I'm just being honest. It's okay. I'm a fat kid. I'm good with it. It doesn't bother me that much. I mean, it does a little bit. Anyways, so we have to get up and we have to do something sometimes. We have to take some action in order to help get the process rolling, in order to show our faith for what God has for us, okay? And here's the thing. Sometimes it's hard, okay? This is the third thing we have to learn. The third lesson out of these. Sometimes the work that we have to do is not easy, right? Digging holes, not easy or fun, all right? Carrying the dude, climbing up on the roof, digging the hole, lower the dude. This is hard work. His friends were really dedicated. They really wanted to see him healed. It says a lot about their friendship that these guys did that much because to get that many people together, there was like one of those type A guys like me who's like the planner who's like, okay, everybody, we're going to meet here at his house at this time. And then, okay, you carry because, if there's five guys, they cannot decide on how to do anything. So there's one guy who's like, all right, everybody kind of simmer down. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to get them. Maybe we'll trade off, taking turns. Bible doesn't say how many guys there were. It just says how many carried him. So maybe they rotated. Maybe there's 10 guys. They took turns four at a time. I don't know. But it was hard work, okay? There was a lot of action involved in this in order to get this thing done, in order to get this man to the place where God could heal him. And so tonight, you guys have all got things that you want to see in your life. You've got things you want to see personally, but I hope you've got people around you that you want to see meet Jesus. Okay, and this is where we're bringing it back to bring a buddy night. is that you've got somebody in your life. You can say, you know what, I've got a friend who needs Jesus. I got a classmate, whatever, that needs Jesus. If you don't have a friend like that, you should meet one. If all your friends are Christians, you should meet some non-Christians. But if you want them to meet Jesus, but you haven't taken any action except for sitting and hoping, you might have prayed for them. That's great. Do that. Keep praying for them. But you never talked to them about Jesus. You've never asked them about their faith. You've never asked them what they believe. You've never invited them to church. Okay? Then, yeah, you're not taking the action. You haven't done anything yet, and yet you're hoping for something to happen. Maybe you have. Maybe you're like, you know what? I have talked to them. I've been working at it. I keep talking to them. They keep shutting me down. You know what? I encourage you guys, keep trying. Keep persevering. Okay, it wasn't easy to get that guy healed. It wasn't easy to carry him that far and to get him up on the roof, but his friends persevered. Okay, fill this valley with ditches. That's not easy to fill a whole valley with ditches, no matter how many soldiers you have. Those guys had to work hard to dig those ditches. But they did it. They were persevering. So I want to encourage you guys, if you've got somebody like that, somebody you've been working on, somebody you've been talking to, but they haven't quite gotten it, they haven't figured it out, or they haven't said yes to the invitation to come to youth or to whatever, keep working on it. Don't give up. Don't get frustrated. Don't quit on them. Because you might be the only person who's ever going to talk to them about that. You might be the only person who might give them the opportunity to meet Jesus. So some of you are in one of those two boats. You haven't done any action, or you need some work on the perseverance side. You say, you know what, I haven't been, you know, I'm giving up, or I want to give up. Then there's other of you who have the Joram problem. You say, you know what, yeah, I want this to happen, but I have not been living for Jesus. I have not, and I know that. Some of you guys are probably there. Jesus wants to be in relationship with you. He's not this judgmental, angry God. Okay, that's not how Jesus rolls. He is a just God and he is jealous. But if you will come to him, he will meet you right there. He does not want about judging you. If you come to him, he will meet you. So tonight I want to give you guys the opportunity. I want to give you guys the opportunity to make a decision. In one of these three areas, okay, you say, you know what? You say, you know what? I have not been living for Jesus, or I have not taken any action, or maybe I just need some help on the perseverance side. I've gotten tired of it. I want to give you guys a chance tonight to rectify that, to change that. And here's how I'm going to do it. I want you guys to close your eyes, bow your heads real quick, just for a couple minutes here. Nobody looking around. In Mark chapter 2, for the paralyzed man to realize his blessing, for him to realize and get what he had coming to him and get the thing that God had for him, he had to get up and walk out. He had to get up, pick up his mat, and walk out. Now, I don't want you guys to get up and leave the room, but I'm going to ask you right now, if you're one of those three people, you say, you know what, I need to get right with God because I haven't been, or number two, I need to begin a course of action. I've been hoping for this and I've been praying for it, but I have not taken any action on it. Or number three, I just need to reaffirm my commitment to persevere. I need to reaffirm my commitment to keep going and to not quit on whatever it is, on your friend, on your family member, on your classmate, on your teammate that needs Jesus. You need to reaffirm that I will not give up on them. If you're one of those three categories, I want you to just stand up right where you are. You don't have to look around. Nobody's going to. Don't look to wait to see if other people are doing it. Just stand up right now. If that's you, one of those three categories with nobody looking around, I see people standing. Awesome. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray for you guys. And whatever it is you need, if you need to, you can pray right where you are. All you got to do is talk to God. It does not require some big fancy words. It does not require some loud, boastful prayer. All it means is you and God are talking. He's listening. He wants to hear what you have. The Bible says, cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. All you got to do is sit there and talk to him. It doesn't even have to be out loud. It can just be in your own spirit, in your own heart. And I'm going to pray over you as you do that, as a reaffirmation of what we're talking about tonight. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for these students, Lord, who are taking a stand, who are standing up and walking out on the blessings that you have for them, Heavenly Father. They're going to walk out and accept what you have, Lord. Their friend that needs you, whoever it is, God, you are noticing what's happening here. You see their faith, Lord, and you see their action here, God. And so we trust that you are going to do your action as well, Heavenly Father. We don't know when, we don't know where necessarily, but God, we are calling on you right now, Heavenly Father. First off, I pray, God, for those who are recommitting their lives to you even right now, the ones who haven't been living for you, Heavenly Father, but they want to live for you, God. I thank you right now for the relationship that is beginning, God, the relationship that you are beginning in them even now. God, you are going to do a work in their hearts, God. I pray that you would change them to be more like you, God, that you would draw them closer to you. Lord, that you would pull them into relationship with you. God, give them a desire for you and a desire for their word, for your word, God, and a desire to know you better, Heavenly Father. God, and we're going to see the fruits. We're going to see the change in them. God, you are going to change them to make them more like what you've called them to be. Lord, not these broken sinners, God, and we're always going to be a little messed up, Heavenly Father, but in a sanctifying process. God, a sanctifying process of healing in their hearts and in their bodies and in their minds, Heavenly Father. God, I pray for those who right now are making a commitment, God, to action, a commitment to talk to somebody who needs you, Lord, to invite them to church. God, to start a dialogue where they haven't before, Heavenly Father. Right now, I pray, God, you would give them boldness, God, that you would give them courage, that you would give them wisdom and the words to speak to those around them. Lord, that you would give them the desire and the heart, God, for those who need you, Lord. Like the song in Hosanna says, break my heart for what breaks yours. God, I pray that you would give us a passion for the lost, that you would not let us be able to accept the fact that there are people all around us, God, who don't know you, God, and who, as it stands right now, are destined for an eternity away from you, Heavenly Father. But God, that we would be drawn to them, Lord, that you would put them in our path, that you would put them in our way so that we could run into them, Lord, and you would give us the opportunity and the wisdom to speak to them, Heavenly Father. God, that we would know what to say. Lord, that we would be prepared, like we talked about last week, that we would be prepared to give an account of our faith, God, so that we can show them what you're doing for us. God, I pray for each student who's in that boat right now, Lord. And Lord, for those who are standing, God, as a recommitment to continue what they've already begun. Lord, maybe they're already taking action. Maybe they've already begun a dialogue. They've already started a conversation, Lord, but it's getting tiresome, Lord. They're growing weary because they haven't seen the results yet, Heavenly Father. I know where they're at. I've been where they are, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I'm just so grateful that you have shown me the fruit, God, in my life. I can speak specifically, God, to opportunities, Lord, where you have shown fruit, God, and where perseverance is paid off. And so, God, I pray you would give them, God, just endurance, Lord, endurance to run the race. Lord, like our Speed the Light theme is this year, God, finish, that we would have the strength and the endurance to finish the race, not just to go halfway, God, but to finish the race, not for our own sake, but for the sake of those around us, like a teammate who might quit on themselves, God, but won't quit on their teammate, like an athlete who is more likely to keep going if there's somebody beside them than by themselves, God, that we would be drawn to those around us who need you. And for their sake, Lord, we would be perseverant, Heavenly Father. Give us endurance. God, give us comfort when things get hard. Give us peace when our minds are troubled and our hearts are troubled, Heavenly Father. God, tonight we just know you have incredible things in store, God. We know that you want to grow this youth group, not for the sake of numbers, not so that we can say, oh, I go to this huge youth group, but so that we can say, Lord, you are working in the lives of teenagers in Odessa. God, that students in Odessa would feel your presence, Lord, and would know you and would know, God, what you have for them and would know your love, God, and that we would be catalysts for that. Again, not for our own glory, but for your glory, Heavenly Father. God, again, I just lift up every need that's here, Lord. I don't know what they all are, but I lift them up to you, God, because you know every need, Lord. You know you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and you knew every hair on our head before we were born, Lord, and you take care of each and every flower and make sure they were clothed. So how much more will you take care of us, God? We trust you. We love you. We thank you. God, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.